Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to At the Movies with Jameel. I am your host, Jameel Bradfield. Jameel Real Deal Bradfield, and that's real with two E's. It is Friday, August 30th, last Friday of the month. Yay, almost the first of the month. Yeah, it's Friday, August 30th, 2013. Wow, what a week. So much going on, so much to talk about today. I am excited to be here, as always. And we are in the house. Of course, At the Movies with Jameel is a part of the weekly lineup on Cheryl's World. Shout out to Miss Cheryl Smith, super veteran journalist and diva Delta extraordinaire. What's up, Cheryl, if you're out there listening? At the Movies with Jameel is a part of Cheryl's World. And, of course, Cheryl herself will be on Sunday morning, 8 to 10, right here, same bat station, same bat channel. On Blog Talk Radio. I am excited about my show tonight. We're going to be talking, I told you last week, we were going to talk about The Butler tonight. So for everybody out there, all my listeners, call your friends, call your mama, call your neighbor, everybody who you know who has seen The Butler and has an opinion about it one way or the other, we want to hear from you tonight. So we're going to be talking about that in the second half of the show. Of course, during the first hour, I am super excited about my guest tonight. He will be joining us on the show in about half an hour or so. but none other than the talented actor, Mr. Robert Christopher Riley. He is the star of VH1's hit television series, Hit the Floor. And if you are a fan of Mr. Riley's and that show, this is a treat you don't want to miss. Have a chance to check out what he has going on, his career, new projects that are on the horizon, and get a chance to call in and talk to him. So, of course, we are a talk show. I will talk to you all night, but I want to hear from you. 646-200-0459. Call us up. The number is toll-free, 646-200-0459. If you want to just listen, if you'd like to make a comment on the air, ask a question, just join the conversation, press 1 after you get through through the line. And, of course, if you need to multitask and just want to listen in, you can always check us out online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Cheryl Smith, and that is traditional spelling for Cheryl Ann Smith. Again, it's August 30th. Gosh, so much going on this week. Wednesday, August 28th of this week, August 28th, 2013, marked the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. Of course, that is a very historic milestone in the Civil Rights Movement, the March on Washington 50th anniversary. Observance was held on Wednesday in Washington, D.C., and that is also, of course, at the March on Washington back in 1963 is when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. made his famous I Have a Dream speech. So lots going on there, lots of reflection. I know, you know, following all my friends on Facebook, and just a lot of reflection going on this week as we observe that moment in history. And then, of course, yesterday was the King of Pop himself, would have been his birthday, August 29th. So happy birthday to Michael Jackson. And we'll be checking out some of his songs a little later in the show, just kind of in observance or celebrating his birthday. And let's see, what else is going on? VMAs, last Sunday, the VMAs, MTV Video Awards, Video Music Awards. Woo, lots of talk and chatter about that show. You know, it's really interesting. That was the night before my kids were returning to school for the new school year. And so, you know, as busy moms are, I was focused on making sure they had all of their supplies checked off the checklist and clothes ironed. And, you know, the night before the first day of school is always a big deal, and especially when your kids are still young in elementary school. And I, needless to say, had kind of completely forgotten that the VMAs were on Sunday night, and until kind of got done with my mommy duties and checked out a bunch of folks. Everybody was posting on Facebook about Miley Cyrus and Justin Timberlake's performance, which was absolutely amazing. Love him, love him, love him. So I'm like, oh, man, you know, I missed the VMAs. So I said, let me pull up a guide, because, you know, when those award shows come on, it's inevitable that the networks are going to rebroadcast those shows oftentimes over and over multiple times. So I pulled up the guide to see when the next showing of it would be so I could record it. And coincidentally, it was just coming back on, starting back over at 10:30, from 10:30 p.m. to midnight. So I was able to catch the airing of it. And, wow, yeah, Miss Miley, bless your heart, baby. We know you're grown. Everybody knows you're grown. We all know you're not a little girl, little Hannah Montana anymore. I know a lot of child stars tend to, we've seen this time and time again over the years. Maybe not to this degree that I can recall with anybody else, but, you know, a lot of times we see child stars grow up and become young adults, and they so much, you know, don't want to be associated with that child character that they have become to, you know, be known for, that they kind of go to extreme measures to prove that they are now adults and, you know, can do what they want to do. And yeah, I get that. But Miss Lady, there's not a lot that makes my mouth drop, but that was out of control. Out of control. You know, I understand that cable TV versus the major networks, you know, cable kind of you can use you know, curse words, and, you know, there's a lot of, lot more sexual overtones and just, but, you know, I think celebrities that are in the public eye, especially those that have a lot of young people and kids in particular looking up to them, you know, whether you want the responsibility or not, when you become, you know, a household name, whether you're in the music business, whether you're in the television and film industry, I think, and this is my opinion, that, you know, you have a certain responsibility. A certain responsibility comes with that, again, whether you want it or not. I mean, that's something we can ask Mr. Riley about when he joins us, what his thoughts are on that, you know, because a lot of people, a lot of celebrities will say, well, it's not our responsibility to teach the kids right from wrong, or, you know, it is the parents, and it is absolutely the parents' responsibility. That starts at home. You know, you don't want necessarily everybody who is, you know, all of the images that you see in pop culture to be who your kids necessarily select as role models. But needless to say, her performance was, it was just completely over the top, unnecessary, vulgar. It was just borderline porn. So, anyway, that's my two cents on that. And I, let's see, what else is going on? In other news, more positive news, MegaFest is in town. It's in Dallas this year. And for those of you who are not really familiar with MegaFest, MegaFest is a I would say, faith-based conference. It is hosted by, put on by Bishop T.D. Jakes and his church, the Potter's House. And it's going on right now in Dallas. I believe it actually kicked off, I want to say yesterday. Kicked off yesterday, and, of course, Miss Oprah Winfrey herself held her her life class at the American Airlines Arena in I believe it was there, or was that the convention center, one of the two, in Dallas. And just a lot of wonderful faith-based programming, educational information, you know, being shared at this conference. So I want to welcome MegaFest. Of course, I broadcast from Dallas, Texas. Shout out to everybody in the Big D. MegaFest will be going on through tomorrow is the last full day of events. So lots of wonderful things going on with that. If you're in the Dallas area, you know, you can check out the programming online at TDJconferences.org. They have information there about MegaFest. I had a chance to attend the opening keynote presentation of the International Faith and Family Film Festival. It's the first International Faith and Family Film Festival that is a part of MegaFest, at the Omni Hotel yesterday in Dallas. And the opening keynote presentation was a screening of the sixth installment of the Black in America series, hosted by Soledad O'Brien. And so Ms. O'Brien was at the screening yesterday. She was actually introduced by the, you know, fabulous entertainment veteran, Ms. Deborah Langford, was also in the house. She introduced Soledad O'Brien. We watched the documentary of the latest, you know, series in this franchise, Black in America. And this one is called Greater Expectations, and it focuses on the educational system, and it really features the education system in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and kind of shows the contrast between the public system, public school system versus the charter school system, and it was two or three charter schools featured in this documentary in particular. That documentary, Black in America, the sixth Black in America, Greater Expectations, actually premieres tonight. So while you're tuning in to At the Movies with Jamil, set your recorders on CNN. It airs, premieres tonight on CNN, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and it is a must-see. If you are an educator, if you're in school studying to be a teacher or an administrator, if you are a parent for certain, take a look at it. particularly if you are a parent of African-American children. And even if you are, you know, non-African-American, it's a really, really interesting and informative documentary. And what is happening in Minneapolis is happening in cities all across America with the public school education system and these, you know, new models of charter schools that are popping up all across the country. So I encourage you to take a look at that. It's definitely worth seeing and definitely has will spark or continue the conversation about, you know, the importance of quality education for our children in this country. So check that out tonight, again, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern on CNN, Black in America with Soledad O'Brien. Check that out. Don't want to miss it. Okay. So we have, it is Friday. A lot of people just got paid. And it's also heading into the first of the month. Of course, Sunday is September 1st. And let's take a look at what we have for our top box office movies going into this weekend. So last week's top 10 box office movies in terms of revenue, we have, drum roll, Lee Daniels, The Butler, coming in at $16.5 million, We're the Millers, $13 million even. And let me add that Lee Daniels, The Butler, that is the second consecutive week that it held the number one spot at the top box office movie. So kudos to Mr. Lee Daniels. We'll talk about The Butler a lot later in the show. I have a lot to say about the movie. In short, it was fabulous. Well done. Kudos, Mr. Daniels. Okay, coming in at third place for the top box office movies for last week is Mortal Instruments, City of Bones, followed at $9.3 million, followed by The World's End at $8.8 million. Planes, which is the animated film, and it's kind of a spinoff of the movie Cars, but it features planes. And that came in the fifth spot at $8.6 million. Coming in at number six was You're Next at $7 million. Coming in at number seven was Elysium, starring Matt Damon at $6.9 million, followed by Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, in the eighth spot at $5.3 million, and followed up in the ninth spot by Kick-Ass 2 at $4.4 million, and rounding out the list in the 10th spot was Blue Jasmine, right at an even $4 million. So there you have it. That's your top box office movies from last week. Again, going into this weekend, Lee Daniels is holding on to the number one spot. we'll see, you know, next week how it fared for the third consecutive week. I think the Hollywood insiders predict that One Direction, the new film that hit theaters, I believe today, One Direction, which of course is about the group One Direction, the boy band One Direction. It's One Direction, This Is Us. They forecast that it will reach number one on the charts this weekend. So we'll see. You know, it's this new movie, One Direction, This Is Us, is kind of, it's, you know, it's the latest release in a string of recent concert movies that kind of started out with, ironically, Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus, Best of Both Worlds concert tour back in 2008. That was one of the first kind of 3D concert movies, and that had the highest opening of that type of movie genre at $31.1 million, went on to close with $65.3 million, and then the very following year, Michael Jackson's This Is It was even bigger at $72.1 million. And then Justin Bieber, the Beepster, his concert movie Never Say Never in 2011 holds the record for concert movies at $73 million. Had a couple other 3D concert movies that didn't fare so well. Jonas Brothers, the 3D concert experience, earned just a mere $19.2 million. And I say a mere $19.2 million, like, you know, for most people that's still a lot of money. But by Hollywood standards, and I guess based on what they were expecting it to do, that was, you know, not really a lot of money. Last summer, Katy Perry, Part of Me, did only just slightly better than the Jonas Brothers films at $25.3 million.
So, you know, some of them do really well, some of them don't. It's just a hit or miss thing, you know. And so we'll see. One Direction is really, they're really hot right now. So I'm sure all the screaming little girls will drag their moms to take them to see this and their friends this weekend. So we'll see how that fares. And with that, we are going to take a quick little break here. And when we come back, we are going to give you what's opening also in theaters this week, what's coming soon. And again, we'll get ready to talk to Mr. Robert Christopher Riley. But tonight and throughout the night, you will hear different songs from the soundtrack of The Butler. Since we're going to be talking about The Butler, I thought it'd be appropriate to kind of feature some of the music from the soundtrack and the score from the film. So right now we're going to take a quick break, and we are going to, if I can pull it up here, we're going to take a listen to Ain't That a Kick in the Head. It's an old classic by Dean Martin. Check it out. This is from The Butler.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just a beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head? Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. She's telling me we'll be wed. She's picked out a king-size bed. I couldn't feel any better, or I'd be sick. Tell me quick, boy, ain't love a kick. Tell me quick.
Oh,
We are back. You are tuning in to At the Movies with Jamil. I am your host, Jamil Real Deal Bradfield, coming to you live, broadcasting from Dallas, Texas, all around the country, and hopefully all around the world online. You can check us out. If you need to multitask and just listen online, check us out at www.blogtalkradio.com/CherylSmith/2013/08/30/Cheryl-World. I know that's long, but you can also just go to blogtalkradio.com/CherylSmith and click on the show title At the Movies with Jamil. If you want to call us up tonight, I'm going to be talking to the super talented actor, Mr. Robert Christopher Riley from VH1's hit television series Hit the Floor in just a few moments. You can call us up and talk to Mr. Riley. You can talk to us about The Butler. We're going to be talking about that movie in the second hour of the show. The number, as always, is toll-free. Dial us at 646-200-0459. That's 646-200-0459, and press 1 to talk on the air and join the conversation. So just before the music break, and of course that was, you just heard two back-to-back songs from the Butler soundtrack, Ain't That a Kick in the Head, an old classic by Dean Martin, and followed up by In the Middle of the Night by Miss Fantasia. And again, we're going to be checking out a couple of other tunes from the Butler soundtrack, and we're also going to be checking out a few Michael Jackson tunes in honor of the King of Pop's birthday on yesterday. And then I got a special, very special treat for you at the end of the show, so just stay tuned. So in theaters this week, just before the break, we were talking about One Direction, which is probably the biggest wide-release film that opened in theaters this weekend. One Direction, This Is Us, which is a 3D concert movie about the British boy band, following them, kind of documentary-style One Direction. So that is predicted to take the number one box office spot away from The Butler. The Butler's been holding on to that spot for two consecutive weeks. So it is certainly, I think, by all standards, performing much better at the box office than the Hollywood insiders may have predicted. But Lee Daniels, The Butler, opened in wide release on August 16th. It's been in theaters exactly 2 weeks today. And the production budget for that film was $30 million. It's rated PG-13. And to date, or at least as of yesterday's box office revenues, it has made $59.2 million. So it has already paid for itself. It's paid its bills. That doesn't count the marketing budget, of course, but at least on the production side, it's already paid its bills. It's in about 3,300-plus theaters around the country, and it's still climbing. Again, congratulations to Mr. Lee Daniels, director of that film. Very, very, just an amazing story, and we'll get into that, and I want to hear from you. I know a lot of people have already seen The Butler. There's still folks out there trying to catch it, you know, this weekend and going forward, so give us a call, second hour of the show, in about, probably I'd say about 45 minutes or so, we're going to get into our discussion about The Butler and my review, and I want to hear your 2 cents. So, again, that number to call in is 646-200-0459, and press the number 1 when you want to join the conversation with us on the air. So also in theaters this weekend, in addition to the One Direction film, you also have Closed Circuit, rated R, it's about an hour and a half, stars Eric Bana, who you know has played the Hulk in the past, as well as other roles you would remember him from. Getaway, which stars Ethan Hawke and Selena Gomez and John Voight, is rated PG-13. Getaway is basically the premise of it is a former race car driver, Brent Magner, who Ethan Hawke plays, is pitted against the clock. He's desperately trying to save the life of his kidnapped wife, and he commandeers a custom-made Shelby Cobra Mustang. My son loves that car. And taking it and its unwitting owner on a high-speed race against time at the command of a mysterious villain who is holding his wife hostage. So that is also in theaters this weekend. Looking for a little action, you might want to check that one out. And, of course, One Direction is rated PG. It's about an hour and 32 minutes long. So those are the big movies that are out in wide release this weekend. And we have, let's see what we have coming soon. I know for you Vin Diesel fans out there who follow the Pitch Black franchise, it's now kind of seemingly been renamed Riddick after Vin's character. In that film that opens on next Friday. So coming soon, we've got Riddick, which opens on September 6th. We also have The Family, which is a movie about a mafia boss and his family that relocated to kind of a slow town in France under the witness protection program after snitching on the mob. So that actually stars Michelle Pfeiffer, Robert De Niro, Tommy Lee Jones. That's rated R. That comes out the following weekend on Friday the 13th. Yes, Friday the 13th. But got Riddick coming out before that. And then also on Friday the 13th, you have Insidious Chapter 2. Those are probably the, you know, major films of that over the next couple of weeks. So it looks like Riddick is going to be, I'm surprised they kind of didn't release it this weekend, going into Labor Day weekend. So, you know, normally there's some pretty big releases on a holiday weekend where you have that extra day to kind of count revenues for your box office weekend. But needless to say, we've got One Direction for all you boy band fans out there this weekend. Come check that out. And, of course, there's movies that have maybe just came out a week or two ago that are still in theaters, maybe have not had a chance to check those out. You can check out Two Guns, starring Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg. You can check out Jobs, which is about Steve Jobs, played by Ashton Kutcher. The Smurfs 2 for the kiddos. Despicable Me 2 is still in theaters. Grown Ups 2, which I took my kids to see last week. They were dying to see it. And, it was just as silly as the first one. Maybe not quite as funny, but, it's what you would expect from the sequel to that movie. And, of course, The Wolverine, which is probably one of my favorite action movies, at least superhero kind of comic-based action movies of the summer. It's almost a three-way tie for me, but between Wolverine, Superman, the new Superman movie, Man of Steel, and Iron Man 3. Those are some really, really big, well worth it, lived up to their hype summer blockbuster action films. And I think Turbo's still in theaters and The Heat. So if you haven't checked out any of those are still available in theaters, a theater near you. So that's your list of what's coming soon, what's out now. I've got a lot of industry news to share with you as well. So I'm going to jump into a little what we call real news, and that's two E's, easy real, get it? Real news we're going to check out before we talk to Mr. Robert Christopher Riley. So, I talked last week about Ben Affleck being the new Batman. He's going to play Batman in the next Man of Steel, the next Superman movie. So it's actually a Superman film, but for the first time ever on the big screen, Batman and Superman are going to be in some sort of battle. That was announced at Comic-Con in San Diego a few weeks back. So Ben Affleck's going to be playing Batman. And, I think people had their opinions about who should play the next Batman. Obviously, I don't think Christian Bale was, but he no longer wanted to do that role. He wanted to kind of move on to other things in his career. I'm just going to give you a few factoids about Batman, and then I think we're going to be ready to bring our guest on to join us for the show tonight. So the tallest Batman. Tallest Batman will actually be Ben Affleck. Surprise, surprise, at 6'2 and a half. The second tallest Batman was played by Adam West, who you will remember kind of as the original TV Batman at 6'2 even. Probably the heaviest in weight Batman was played by Val Kilmer at 205, and I'm giving you, I guess, their weight at the time that they played the role. So he was 205. the thinnest Batman would have been George Clooney at 166 pounds. And that's not counting Michael Keaton because his weight was unknown, and Michael Keaton looks like he's kind of a small frame guy. The average weight of a Batman, if you're interested, is 193.5 pounds. The average weight of the modern big screen Superman has been about 196 pounds. The average height of a Batman is 5'11". Average height of a Superman is 6'1". So there you have it. And in terms of some of the other facts, average age of a Superman is 27. Average age when one becomes a Batman is 37.5. That's interesting. And the number of Batmen that are Gloria Steinem's stepson, there's only one. And that was Christian Bale. Let's see, the number of, let's talk about their signs. Adam West was a Virgo. Adam West and Michael Keaton actually both were Virgos. Val Kilmer was a Capricorn. George Clooney was a Taurus. Christian Bale's an Aquarius, and there you have it. Most Oscar losses by a Batman. George Clooney was 6. Oh, that's so sad. But I like George Clooney. Anyway, there's a little unknown trivia for you about Batman and Superman, and they're going to be pitted against each other in the next Man of Steel film, which I think is slated to come out in 2015. So really enjoyed Henry Cavill as Superman. You know, I'm really picky about my Superman. I've kind of been Christopher Reeves was my favorite. That's who I grew up on. So since, you know, there have been a couple other guys that played Superman since, but I really liked Henry Cavill in that role. So stay tuned for more on that new movie and Zack Snyder's direction on that film. So we are going to, I'm now getting to the exciting part of the show for all of you VH1 viewers, fans of the hit television series, Hit the Floor. That's right, Hit the Floor. I think we have a very special guest with us tonight. And because he's from Brooklyn, I thought, you know, what better way to bring him on the show than with Jay-Z and Alicia Keys with Empire State of Mind. So with that, I'd like to introduce to the show, I think we have on with us Mr. Robert Christopher Riley. Are you in the house?
Hey, I'm in the building. What's happening?
All right. Welcome to the show. We are so glad to have you on. Let me turn this down so everybody can hear you. All right, there we go.
Thanks
welcome
for playing
to the show.
Thank you for the music. I appreciate that.
I thought you would appreciate that. We wanted to have a proper welcome for you.
I tip my hat to you for that one.
All right, cool. Okay, well, hey, it's Friday. We're talking movies. You know, this is the day that usually movies come out going into the weekend. I've just kind of been talking about what's in theaters, what's coming soon. But right now we want to talk about you and your show and what you have going on. I know a lot when I was kind of promoting on social media that you were going to be on, I had, you know, a lot of my listeners saying that they were going to tune in and that they love the show and they love you. So, you know, share with your listeners. I've had a chance to chat with you a little bit and learn a little about you, but share your journey, you know. Tell the listeners a little bit about your career path and kind of what led you to where you are today.
Okay. Well, I am originally from Flatbush, Brooklyn, New York. I was born and raised in Brooklyn. My mother's from Trinidad and Tobago. My father's from Barbados. I was raised by just my mother and my grandmother with one older brother, Sugar Sean Riley, who's a comedian in New York. Went to Catholic school as a kid, then ended up at Brooklyn Technical High School. Played football there, also played football for the Brooklyn Hurricanes and the Pop Warner League when I was a youngster. Went to Lehigh University for a bachelor's in accounting and ended up with a Bachelor of Arts in theater. and I played football at Lehigh for a year and change, and then I left and ended up in the theater program. Quick anecdote there was that the school was doing or putting on a production of A Raisin in the Sun by Laurie Hansberry, which Denzel Washington will be doing on Broadway in the coming month. And they needed some more black actors because the school was predominantly white, Lehigh University, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I was in an intro to acting class at the time. They asked me to audition. I said no. And after asking me two more times, I felt out of a sense of obligation to my minority community that I would at least lend them my efforts. One thing led to another. I was cast as the male lead, as Walter Lee Younger, and found out that I really liked that acting thing, and apparently I was pretty good at it. So one thing led to another. I completed my degree at Lehigh University. I during that time, I wrote a play with my professor and mentor, Cassie Johnson, who is a tenured professor there still. Shout out to Lehigh University Theater Department, Mustard and Cheese Drama Society. We wrote a play called Untold Truth, subtitled Why We Always Sit Together, about the minority experience at predominantly white institutions of education. That was my professional debut. I then went to Ohio University to get my Master of Fine Arts in Acting. And after Ohio, I moved back to New York. I did some regional theater. I did Fences, a six-month tour of Fences in Hartford, Dallas, and Portland. I did a Joe Turner
Shout
Come and Gone
Dallas.
At Baltimore. What now?
I said shout out to Dallas.
Oh, shout out to Dallas. Yes, I see you. then I did Baltimore. I did Joe Turner's Come and Gone at Baltimore Center Stage. And the week after that finished, I was on Broadway understudying Terrence Howard in Cat on the Hot Tin Roof with James Earl Jones and Felicia Rashad and Gianluca Esposito, and directed by Debbie Allen. It was one of the best experiences of my life. I did a little off-Broadway after that. Was with Jane Alexander, the other side of The Great White Hope opposite James Earl Jones. There's a little 6 degrees of separation there for you.
Okay.
Moved out to L.A., did some television, went back, did Lombardi on Broadway, and then I did some film, The Bourne Legacy, Sinister, some more episodes of television, and then came Hit the Floor, which was called Bounce at the time. Shot the pilot, got picked up, made some television, a lot of people watched it, became the number one scripted series this summer on cable television, and that brings us to where we are right now.
Wow. What a journey. Well, kudos
yeah,
to you. What a journey. You sound like you've said that. You've given that spiel a few times.
Yeah, that is the concise version of this spiel. There are many stories and people that I've glossed over, but, you know, when I'm on Inside the Actor's Studio with James Lipton one day, I'll run through that.
Okay, cool. Well, I want to spend just a few minutes asking you a couple of questions, and then we'll I think we may have a caller on hold, so we'll go there in just a second. But so we know what your background is. Also coming up, who were your role? I mean, once you got into acting, who were some of your role models, or who were you kind of not necessarily aspiring to be like, but you know, you admired their accomplishments and in acting.
You know, as I started out, of course, I was looking at Denzel Washington and Will Smith. I grew up watching The Fresh Prince, and as Will Smith's career progressed, and I've got that personality, that you know, witty, funny, energetic personality, and also had the smoldering drama of Denzel. So I had my eye on both of those guys. But as my career progressed, and I things a little differently, then things started to shift more towards Don Cheadle and getting to act alongside James Earl Jones was a great benefit to my career. It was essentially 23 master classes with James Earl Jones whenever I got the chance to play Brick, which I did. And I've also been fortunate enough to do a lot of research on Sidney Poitier. When I was in Lombardi on Broadway, Dan Lauria, who is a big classical film buff, he put me on to many of Mr. Poitier's films, Heaven Knows Mr. Allison, Edge of the City, a lot of these films that most you know, young actors have no idea about and don't really care to know. So, you know, we've got Sydney, we've got John, we've got James, we've got Denzel, you know, Will in his own right. And the funniest thing that ever happened to me is that when I was just recently, I just did a guest star on Ironside, which is Blair Underwood's new series on NBC.
Yes.
And when I was when I first started out, my manager said, you know, I see you as a Blair Underwood type. So a friend of mine gave me a little bracelet that, as a joke, and the bracelet says, what would Blair Underwood do? And so from time to time, as an up-and-coming actor, I have these auditions and sides and scenes and characters, and I thought that happened. So what would Blair do in this situation? Fast forward to 4 or 5 days ago, I actually get to meet Blair, and we're working together on the show, and the head of our makeup department from Hit the Floor is the head of the makeup department there. So I got to see all of those folks, and Blair was very honored that I held him in that regard, and he got a big kick out of the bracelet. So yeah, Blair's on that list for me as well.
That's very cool.
You know,
It's very cool about the bracelet.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I also look up to, you know, folks like Gene Hackman I'm a fan of Johnny Depp from a couple of years ago,
okay.
You know, if you're good, I'm a huge fan of Benedict Cumberbatch, the guy who played Khan in Star Trek, the most recent Star Trek. That is my homeboy right there. Big fan of that guy. I could go on. I love good acting at the end of the day. If you're a good actor or great actor, I'm a fan of yours. And if you're mediocre, well, then I might have seen you.
Right. Very cool. Well, listen, we're going to jump to the phone lines. I think we've got a caller on hold that wants to talk to you. So let's see who we've got here. We've got a caller on hold from 678. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you're on live with Robert Christopher Riley from Hit the Floor. Who are we talking to?
Oh, my goodness. This is Treon. And I am so excited. Hi, Jamil.
Hi. And this is Mr. Robert on the line.
Hello. How are you, sir?
I am fantastic. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm out with a group of ladies tonight, and I just had to call in because I saw this advertisement of you being on here tonight, and I was just extremely excited, and oh my God, to just hear your story and know that you're a regular guy, it's just wonderful. And they would get loud now, so I can't hardly hear.
Can you hear?
Well, I just want you to know I can't really hear you guys, but everyone here is so excited. And we just know we're going to be watching the show.
I'm glad you called in. I appreciate it. I'm assuming you guys are a fan of Hit the Floor. and we appreciate
hello?
That. So I'm, hello?
Oh, I'm
yeah.
back.
We're here.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, great. I can hear really well now. I had to move around a little bit.
Okay, cool.
Well, no, I was just saying thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it, and I'm assuming you guys watched Hit the Floor, so I'll thank you on behalf of all of us.
definitely. The ladies here are all excited and trying to grab my phone, but we would definitely be tuning in. I may even have a viewing party at my place, Jamil. We're so excited that he's on the phone.
There you go.
That'd be awesome. Let's get these viewing parties going. Maybe I can... I'll send you guys a little something if you're having a viewing party.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Well, that'd be great. And Robert,
I can tell you,
I know Treon is in Atlanta, right?
Yes.
And she's got, you would appreciate this, Treon. I know Robert has competed in his life in some fitness competitions. And Treon runs a fitness workout place for ladies in Atlanta. So they're all,
nice.
All of her ladies
listening to you right now.
Oh, yes, and we're actually, I'm here with the Birthday Club actual officers right now. It's about 8 of us, so we're actually so excited. And if you send, hey, send us something or not, we will definitely be tuning in.
I appreciate that. Well, I'm trying to make my way to Atlanta. I've got to set up a couple appearances and get them on the schedule there. So I've got some family out in Atlanta. One of my cousins is down there, and I've been down there to shoot Single Ladies and for better or worse with Tyler Perry. So I'm a fan of that city. Hopefully we can figure something out.
Let me ask the ladies if they would be in the place if you showed up one day. God would be. So you heard that right. And we're actually at the Cheesecake Bistro, Jamil, at Atlantic Station. So everybody kind of is looking at like, why are we saying yes?
Yeah. Very cool. That is awesome.
That is awesome.
Thank you for calling in, Trio.
Okay, see you guys soon.
All right, you take care, Trio, and give everybody a big hug and a kiss for me.
I sure will. He said husband kisses everybody. They're taking pictures of me on the phone now. Thank you, Jamil. We love you.
All right. Love you, too.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Bye. So you've got love from all around the country. I'm sure that you're no stranger to that.
You know, I appreciate it from wherever it comes from. You know, in the business that I'm in, it's without someone watching, you're just kind of telling a story to yourself. So I truly appreciate every and any fan that takes the time out of their day to watch what I'm doing or reach out to me on Twitter or Instagram or whatever it is. I truly appreciate it, and I'm not just saying that for fun. So.
Okay. Well, listen, I've got just a couple more kind of, serious questions for you, and then I just want to take a couple of minutes to play a little bit of word association with you before we go. Let people know a little bit more about Robert Christopher Riley and kind of what your likes are and dislikes and how you think.
Okay, let's do it.
So before we get to the fun stuff, let me just ask you real quick. I know, this week we just observed the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington and Dr. King's famous I Have a Dream speech, and so I wanted to kind of get your take on how far we've come in terms of roles for African Americans. I mean, do you think, what are the roles available today in today's society? Are they still kind of on the stereotypical side, or are they broadening out, have more diverse opportunities?
Well, with regards to when it comes to all of the roles, I think that times have definitely changed. There are a lot more productions now. It's a lot easier to put up an independent production. There are many, many more channels now, and a lot of those channels are getting into their own scripted series. So the opportunities are there. There are still a lot of quote-unquote stereotypical roles. And I think because of the way our society, the American society, is constructed, that will probably never go away, although we can hope for it to lessen to a point that it's that we don't have to be we don't have to put people in a box, because the stereotypes aren't just for African Americans. They're also for people that appear to be smart, or people that are tall and slim, or women of a certain shape and size, and it runs the gamut when it comes to stereotypes. But specifically addressing African-American and African-American men, the stereotypes are still there. The roles are not in that much of an abundance. However, it is better than it used to be. We do have a long ways to go, but I'm an advocate of supporting change. And when I say that, I mean once something is no longer what it was, it should be celebrated. It may not be what it will be. It may have the potential to be much greater than it currently is, but as long as it's no longer what it was, that's a change in the right, it's a step in the right direction. So I think we have made those steps. On Hit the Floor, we have a largely minority-led cast. Obviously we've got Kimberly Elise, Taylor Page, Logan Browning, myself,
McKinley Freeman. Jonathan McDaniels is half black. You know, Valerie Ortiz is Hispanic. There are shows that's happening, and this is on VH1. Now, mind you, VH1 seems to be catering to an African-American audience in recent years with a lot of their program, Love and Hip Hop in Atlanta, Basketball Wives, so on and so forth. You know, that the fact is that's not BET, it's not TV1, it is another network, and we've got to take them where we can get them. And then you also have Shonda Rhimes, and, you know, you can't turn a blind eye to what she's doing. With what she's done, I mean, the chief of medicine in Grey's Anatomy is a black man.
Right.
Or the other woman who runs the residency. I forget. I don't watch Grey's Anatomy that much anymore. But so you've got that. You've got Scandal. She obviously, you know, Kerry Washington's on there. Columbus Short's on there. I forgot the Spanish guy's name, but he's on there. With Private Practice, you had Audra McDonald and Taye Diggs on there. You know, so we need some more Shonda Rhimes. We need more folks like that can kick down those doors in the major networks and these really big budget productions. And a lot of the shows and productions that get a lot of hype tend to be, you know, heavily cast as white, or in a world where that seems to make sense. You know, with your Downton Abbeys and so on and so forth.
Right.
You know, then you can get a Breaking Bad with a Giancarlo Esposito. Mind you, he's playing a drug lord, but a complex one.
Right.
And the bottom line is that actually does exist in our society. So, you know,
Absolutely.
Things are changing. We got a long way to go, but I'm thankful for the changes that have been made.
Perfect. And so before we play our little game here, what's next? What can the listeners out there, your fans, what's next for Robert Christopher Riley? What else? I know you mentioned Ironside. What else are you working on right now?
Yeah, Ironside will be out this winter, sometime in October or early November. You'll hear my voice in some commercials. I'm doing the Verizon NFL Mobile campaign. I'm doing a spot for Dunkin' Donuts. I'll be in a Chevy commercial for their little Santa Claus and year-end clearance joints. I did an independent film called Franny, the movie, which will be out. That's in post-production. It was directed by S. Christian, who garnered a lot of attention at Sundance a couple years ago. I was in a film in Cannes, which is probably available now, a short film called The Spirit Game that was shot out of, I forgot the filmmaker's name, out of Canada. And there are some other things that I cannot speak about yet because I've either signed a non-disclosure agreement or they haven't signed my contract. So those are the things that are concrete that we can talk about. And we're going to music, so I'll probably bless you guys with a little EP before the end of the year, a little bit of music, some guitaring and singing and maybe some spoken word.
Wonderful. We will be looking forward to all of that.
Hey.
For sure. Okay, so we're going to do, this will just take a minute or so. Want to do what I call this or that. I'm just going to give you some choices, and you tell me which one you like or prefer. And then, so we'll start off just silver or gold?
Gold.
Swimming or skiing?
Swimming.
Benz or Beamer?
Beamer.
Or maybe neither. Knicks or Lakers?
Yeah, really neither, but yeah. I'm trying to play the game.
Knicks or Lakers?
Knicks.
You're like, how could you ask me a question?
Yeah, I answered that question like you were stupid for asking it. I'm sorry.
Spring or fall?
Depends on what city I'm in, but I'll go with spring.
Okay. A tux or jeans?
Oh, man. Jeans.
Bourbon or beer?
Bourbon. Always.
Okay. Tupac or Biggie?
That's a tough one, but I'll go with Tupac.
Okay. Vanilla or chocolate?
Vanilla.
dancing or singing?
I gotta dance while I sing.
Okay, good answer. And the last one of those questions is Star Wars or Star Trek?
Ooh, I'm going to say Star Wars for my own personal reasons that I will not reveal. But
okay.
I'm going to say Star Wars and hope that means something.
Okay, last game, and this one is just as quick, maybe even a quicker. I'm going to do a quick word association, but instead of giving you a word, I'm going to give you a name, and you give
okay.
me the first word that comes to mind.
Okay.
Okay? Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
Prolific.
Muhammad Ali.
The greatest.
Tyler Perry. And you can't say
Atlanta.
Okay. Michael Jackson.
Legend.
Logan Browning.
Sweetheart.
Kimberly Elise.
Juggernaut.
Dean Cain.
Coach.
Sidney Poitier.
Standard.
And last but certainly not least, President Barack Obama.
Thank you.
Nice. I love it. That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
That's a good sport.
Hey, no problem. I've got to pack this bag and get on a plane and get to New York so I can show all my people in Brooklyn some love and mash up this Caribbean Day parade on Eastern Parkway.
There you
so,
go. Do it up. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. Be safe. Thanks again so much for your time. We will be watching you, following you on VH1 Hit the Floor. And how can people follow you? You're on Twitter at...
I'm on Twitter at RobRileyNYC. It's the same thing for Instagram, and you can check me out on Facebook as well. It's facebook.com/RobertCReilly. I'm out there. I'm saying something funny or posting a picture for you to wink and get some a little giggle
Very
in your
cool.
life.
I will do it. I appreciate you.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me. You enjoy your Labor Day weekend.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.
All right, everybody, that was Mr. Robert Christopher Riley, star of VH1's hit television series, Hit the Floor. He is from Brooklyn, on his way back to Brooklyn to visit his peeps back home, so hope he has safe travels for the Labor Day weekend. You are listening to At the Movies with Jamil live on Blog Talk Radio on Cheryl's World. You want to call us up? We're going to be talking about The Butler after the break. So call us up, 646-200-0459, and press 1 to join us on the air. You can also log on online if you need to multitask while you listen to the show. By all means, please log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Cheryl Smith. And again, it's At the Movies with Jamil. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to get into The Butler, and I'm going to give you some more real news from Hollywood, and we'll just talk all things movies, get ready for the big Labor Day weekend. Be right back. Stay tuned.
I made you high. Catch me at the X with OG at a Yankee game. That made the Yankee hat more famous than a Yankee king. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of walking with my click, so welcome to the melting pot. Corners where we selling Africa been by the home of the hip-hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners, it ain't fair, they act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked city. It's a pity half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug, special wet, I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. 3 dice, Z-Lo, 3 card, Marley. Labor Day parade, rest in peace, Bob Marley. Statue of Liberty. Long live the World Trade. Long live the King. Yo, I'm from the Empire State.
New York.
A step out of bounds quick. The sidelines is lined with casualties. We sip the life casually, then gradually become worse. Don't fight the apple eve. Caught up in the in crowd. Now you're in style. And in the winter gets cold, in vogue with your skin out. City of sin, it's a pity on a whim. Good girls going bad, the city's filled with them. Mommy took a bus trip, now she got a bus out. Everybody ride her, just like a bus route. Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin. And Jesus can't save you, life starts when the church in. Came here for school, graduated to the highlight. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. Empty in May, got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.
That was Empire State of Mind by Jay-Z featuring Miss Alicia Keys. Then we want to give a special thank you to Mr. Robert Christopher Riley for joining us this show. If you happen to just be tuning in and miss the interview, you can always log back on and check out the archived interviews. All of the shows for At the Movies with Jamil are archived, so you can go back and listen to it if you missed it, or you want to listen to the interview again. By all means, please check him out, and I will make sure that I give you his Twitter and Facebook and all of that information before the end of the show, so that you can continue to follow him and support his career and what he's doing. Very, very nice brother and positive. And Phil, I didn't get a chance to mention that he's also, you know, in addition to all of the wonderful things he does on screen and on stage, he certainly gives back to the community. He works as a mentor, has done some work with an elementary school, coincidentally, the Martin Luther King, we were just talking about Dr. King, Martin Luther King Junior Elementary School in South Central LA. So all around great guy. And, you know, congratulations to him on all of his accomplishments and everything that he is doing and will do in the future. So with that, we're going to take another little break here, and I'm giving you time to, you know, stop cooking and cleaning and everything else you might be doing, get the kids settled so we can talk about The Butler. Fabulous movie. You know, can't wait to give you my 2 cents. Would love to hear from you what you thought about the movie. You know, I want to know several things, just in general, how you liked the movie or didn't like the movie. Do you think it's appropriate for children? Now, I know a lot of my friends were asking, hey, do you think it's appropriate for kids? You know, I really think that's kind of a personal decision. We'll get into that. I have young kids, and I wanted to see it first to determine whether or not I should take them before I just took them, you know, so I wouldn't really be caught off guard by any scenes that might have been too mature for them to handle, or too deep for them to you know, kind of process.
So we'll get into kind of all of those questions and things about that movie. But call us up, 646-200-0459, and press 1 if you want to talk to us about The Butler. When we come back from this break, we're gonna queue up the trailer. For those of you all who haven't had a chance to see The Butler yet, we'll check out the trailer. We'll go into our little station break, and then we'll come back and we'll get into it, and we'll talk about what's going on, you know, kind of as it pertains to modern day race relations in America, and just kind of all of those things. It's always interesting to watch movies that are based on real life events that dealt with slavery and the civil rights, and you know, just people's reactions to those movies. I was one of only a few African Americans in the theater when I went to see The Butler. It's just always interesting to kind of gauge people's reactions and emotions to movies like this. I know I teared up. You know, I'm a big crybaby, though. But here's the
Are you political, Mr.
Gaines? Check it out.
No, sir. Good. We have no tolerance for politics at the White House.
I'm Cecil Gaines. I'm the new Butler.
You hear nothing. You see nothing. You only serve.
You know he got that job himself. The White House called him. He didn't call the White House.
I want to hear all the stories.
I don't know how many stories you're going to hear, because they done swore him to some kind of secret code. I'm so proud of you.
Did you go to an all-colored school, Cecil?
I didn't go to school, Miss President. I grew up on a cotton farm.
Get back to work.
Don't you lose your temper with that man. It's his world. We're just living in it.
About time you go ahead on your own.
You looking for some help?
You done broke our window. You done stole our food. And now you asking for a job?
I know how to serve.
They say this new white boy's smooth.
I am thrilled to be working with all of you over the next 4 years.
Dr. King,
what did your daddy do?
He's a butler.
Young brother, the black domestic played an important role in our history.
Something special is going on down here, Dad.
Miss Bridget?
I know your son is a freedom rider.
Turn the bus! Everybody out!
No, I never understood what you all really went through. You've changed my heart.
There's this whole black power movement going on. I gave him the green light to gut those sons of bitches.
You know what they're going to do to you? They're going to kill you. This country treats us like dogs.
You know, Mr. President, you need to go.
What?
Get the hell out of here!
I'm sorry, Mr. Butler. I didn't mean to make fun of your hero.
Everything you are and everything you have, because of that butler.
Thank you.
And we're back. Thank you for tuning in to At the Movies with Jamil. I am your host, Jamil Real Deal Bradfield. And you just heard the theme from the soundtrack of The Butler. And just before that, you heard the trailer from the actual film. And we are going to get into, I'd like to get into a discussion about the movie. If you've had a chance to see the movie already, I encourage you to please call us up and tell me what you thought about the movie. The studio number is always toll-free, 646-200-0459, 646-200-0459, and press the number 1 to make a comment on the air. So I want to give you kind of my quick down and dirty review of Lee Daniels, The Butler. Probably if you've been tuning in since the beginning of the show, you already have a sense of my feelings about the movie. I thought it was a wonderful film, tastefully done, just well written. I mean, I love the dialogue, the script, the whole story from beginning to end, and the way that the story was put together. I just loved everything about the film. Of course, Lee Daniels, the butler Lee Daniels, is the director of the film, and The Butler, which stars Forrest Whitaker. Sorry about that. I have my friend in the studio with me. My little four-legged friend is in the studio with me. My apologies for that. But we have Forrest Whitaker. Piper, hush. We're on the air, sweetie. Forrest Whitaker, Oscar-winning actor, Forrest Whitaker plays Cecil Gaines. And Cecil Gaines plays a butler, a professional butler, server, if you will, who served in, I believe, 8 different administrations in the White House. And so the story of the butler follows his life. I mean, it starts the film, and there's going to be a lot of spoiler alerts if you haven't seen this film, so I will not try to give away the entire movie, but it follows him as a young boy working in the cotton field alongside of his parents, and then just kind of takes you on his journey as he, becomes a free man and is able to, find work starting out as a butler, a server, and, learned kind of from the best at a really nice kind of swanky hotel in North Carolina, and then had the opportunity kind of, by happenstance to take a job as a butler at the White House in Washington, D.C. So the movie just pretty much follows his story, his life story as a butler. And you see him start out, I think when he first joins the White House, he is the White House staff. He is working under the President Dwight D. Eisenhower administration, and goes from Eisenhower to John F. Kennedy's administration, and then from Kennedy we have President Lyndon B. Johnson, and President Ford and Carter and Reagan. Reagan was the last president that he served under before he, officially retired. It follows him. It looks like, based on the film's timeline, that he was in his early 30s when he first took that job and then worked there from, I believe it was about 1957 when he first started the White House, and then ended around 86, 87. So worked there for almost about 30 years or so, give or take. And all-star cast. I mean, Forrest Whitaker plays the star. Oprah Winfrey, none other than the Miss Oprah Winfrey, plays his wife, Gloria Gaines. And David Oyelowo plays one of his two sons. Then there's Cuba Gooding Jr., Lenny Kravitz. They also played, some of his coworkers on the White House staff. They were also butlers. Jane Fonda plays Nancy Reagan. James Marsden plays President John F. Kennedy. Lee Schreiber plays
President Johnson. Alan Rickman plays President Reagan. Robin Williams plays President Eisenhower. Mariah Carey actually plays Cecil Gaines' mother when he was a child, and they were working, his parents were slaves, and they were working in the cotton fields. Mariah Carey plays his mother. John Cusack. John Cusack actually played President Nixon, and the list goes on and on and on. It's a very, very strong cast of super talented, gifted actors and actresses. The screenplay for the film was written by Danny Strong, and as I mentioned earlier when I was talking about the box office revenues, the production budget for this film was about $30 million. I think they shot some of it or a good part of it in New Orleans. And I know I've noticed of late, or over the years, that a lot of films that are kind of period films set back in colonial times or anything, they need that kind of colonial big house, plantation type of house. They shoot a lot of those films in New Orleans. So I think quite a bit of Django Unchained, and I know it's a completely different film, but the big southern plantation style houses, with the white columns similar to the columns on the White House. And that, apparently they have a lot of those that are used for backdrops in the city of New Orleans. So shout out to the city of New Orleans and probably their local film commission. You know, there's some money made there locally. But back to the movie, it just an amazing cast, an amazing story, film. You know, I think it's two things about this film that kind of come to mind. It's always interesting to me when you see a film that is based on a true story or loosely based or inspired by real-life events. And, of course, this film is actually based on the real-life story. I think the film was actually based on an article written by the Washington Post, if my memory serves me correctly. The Washington Post article about the real life butler. I believe his name is Eugene Allen. Yes, Eugene Allen is who Cecil Gaines' character was based on. And it was just what an incredible story. You know, there's who knew that this man existed, and he started. Actually, the real life butler Eugene Allen started at the White House in 1952 under President Harry Truman. So, you know, his story actually started even earlier than what was depicted in the film. You know, and oftentimes I think people who don't really necessarily know the inner workings of how filmmaking works or storytelling from the film perspective works. You know, they'll read a headline in the news, and then they'll hear that a movie or TV movie is being made about that person's life, and they expect it to be exactly. And I think sometimes even the subjects of these films, the real life inspirations for these films, if they don't really understand how production and entertainment side of film works, you know, oftentimes you see things that are added for entertainment value that may not have necessarily happened in that person's life, or there may be a character, in that person's story depicted on film or on screen that didn't really exist in that person's real life, but it is added for. I mean, when we go to the movies, we're going to be entertained. I mean, let's just keep it real. And then there may be things that really happened in that person's life that they really want. You know, well, this was really important to me, you know, when this happened to me, but it may not make for the best TV or film scene. So, you know, it's something that, one of those things that, you know, you think about in the back of your head when you see movies that are based on real-life people and events. And stories usually, they try to be fairly accurate in how they depict certain things, but obviously it's not going to be exactly like or inclusive of everything that happened in that person's story or their journey. So thought there. And quite a few of the films that we see today and on the big screen are grabbed, you know, right from the headlines. They come right, you know, the Pain and Gain movie that came out back in the spring. We spent a couple of weeks, I think, talking about adaptation films that are adapted from novels or news stories, magazine articles, you know, a lot of, not the novels on the fiction side, but on the real life news, real life people and stories, you know, a lot of movies are adapted. I would venture to say that, and I'll get these statistics for you and have them for you maybe next week, but, you know, I'd like to know how many films, big release, wide release films coming out of, or theatrical releases coming out of Hollywood are adapted versus the percentage that are based on original material. I'd venture to say probably more would lean towards being a greater percentage on the adapted side. I mean, there's not, you know, the same thing on the TV side. There's not a whole lot of, you know, super, super original, creative, innovative things. You know, Hollywood tends to like to, has a tendency to reinvent the wheel with just a fresh angle or new and more entertaining twist in characters. But it's oftentimes it's very similar stories or situations. And again, often adapted from real life events. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is, you know, anytime there's a film, we're still in 2013 in America dealing with race relations and racism and prejudice and, you know, racial issues. And I think how appropriate for us to have this discussion, for me to talk about this film tonight, the week that we observed just 2 days ago, the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington from, you know, the Civil Rights era with and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s, you know, famous I Have a Dream speech, famous and, you know, forever inspirational I Have a Dream speech. You know, that movie would come out right around this time, I think is, you know, it was the perfect timing. And, you know, I'm always curious to know what people's thoughts are. I know for most African Americans, and especially maybe not the younger generation and maybe not our kids. I know my children are 9 and 10, and they are so, other than what they learned, a little tiny bit that they learned during Black History Month at school, we make sure at home that we teach them a lot about, you know, the civil rights movement and just the struggle, slavery, and everything that African Americans have had to fight through and continue to fight through, you know, inequality and injustices and unfairness, and be it in the workplace, you know, being in the educational system, just in life in general. We are, you know, it's very important to us that they know their history, and that they look towards their future knowing where they came from. You know, obviously things are very different for our kids than they were for my parents and my grandparents and their parents. But, you know, we even though they can't really identify with it because they just didn't see any of that growing up, and even me, I'm a child of the 70s, you know, when I came along, Blacks had rights, African Americans had rights in this country. We had the right to vote. We had the right to, you know, attend desegregated schools and have the same jobs, you know, not necessarily equal pay for equal work back then, but my parents lived through the Civil Rights era and my grandparents, so I'm a little bit closer to it and understand. My kids, when we try to break it down to them, I think they understand. We break it down on a level that they can understand, but they're so far removed from it. It doesn't have the same kind of emotional impact. You know, of course, I teared up when I saw The Butler. As sort of action-packed as Django Unchained was, the scenes where, you know, slaves were being brutally beaten and lynched and all of that, you know, I cried. When I see those images, it just conjures up so many just thoughts of oppression and just at the same time and gratefulness for those that came before us so that, you know, here I am today, you know, with my own radio show and able to work and live next to, you know, Caucasian neighbors and Latino neighbors and just work with people from all walks of life and worship with people from all walks of life. So, you know, those tears for me are tears of sadness, tears of anger, and tears of thankfulness that somebody, that you know, there were the Dr. Kings and the Medgar Evers and the Malcolm X's and so many others, you know, the little girls that were bombed in a church in Alabama and the kids that were killed in Philadelphia and Mississippi, the Freedom Riders, you name it. I'm grateful that they, you know, fought and shed blood, shedding tears, and even lost their lives so that we can enjoy the freedom that we do today. So I don't want to get too deep, and I don't want to get emotional even talking about it, but I want to hear what you thought about the movie. I thought it was just so wonderfully done. I really enjoyed all of the characters. Of course, Forest Whitaker did a phenomenal job playing the lead character, Cecil Gaines. I had a chance to actually meet David Oyelowo, who played Louis Gaines, the eldest son of Cecil and Gloria Gaines in the film. Had a chance to meet him back in February in Los Angeles at the Pan-African Film Festival and the African-American Film Critics Awards event out there. And he's very humble and gracious gentleman. And he is, I think he is quite an actor. I'm not quite sure his age. I think he's in his 30s, but I think he's definitely one to watch. I think there's kind of this new crop of young African-American male actors who are, you know, Denzel will always be Denzel Washington. And I actually I'm in grad school right now studying screenwriting. And my last course that I took, my professor, is actually a story editor at William Morris Endeavor Entertainment in L.A., and Denzel Washington is one of his clients. And so we got into a conversation about Denzel and kind of who's the next Denzel. And, you know, he's biased. He's like, you know, there will always only be one Denzel, which I certainly could not dispute and totally agree with him. But needless to say, Denzel will be around, you know, I'm sure still for quite some years acting and sharing his gift with us. But there are some new, younger actors, like David Oyelowo and Idris Elba, who is playing Nelson Mandela in an upcoming theatrical release called A Long Walk to Freedom, where he stars as Nelson Mandela. But Idris Elba, David Oyelowo, I can never pronounce this actor's name correctly, so I'm going to do it phonetically like I did as a child. Chiwetel Ejiofor. Don't know if I'm saying that quite right, but it's an actor who has been in several movies. If you don't know him by name, you definitely know him by face if you Google him. He's actually going to be starring in another film based on real-life events called 12 Years a Slave. That film is coming out soon, I think maybe in October, and it is based on the true story of a free man who was kidnapped and turned into a slave down south by the name of Solomon Northrup. You can Google that name as well, Solomon Northrup, and it's based on a story about an African-American man who was a free man living up north and, you know, married, had family, and was you know, I'm not going to say he lived in high society, but he was polished. He played the violin. He was educated, you know, and he was kind of duped into, you know, kind of attending a meeting where he ended up being kidnapped and taken down south. And, you know, kind of when the blindfold, if you will, and the ropes were taken off of him, he was in the South and made to be a slave. And he pleaded his case, said no, he was not a slave, he was a free man. And of course, you know,
once he was in the South, there was nothing he could say or do but to kind of follow suit. So anyway, that's another movie based on real life events during the slavery era, and it stars a number of other big name actors. I know Brad Pitt is one of the co-stars there. Alfred Woodard is also in that film. Some of the other names escape me, but Paul Giamatti is in that film. So yeah, that's coming out soon. You know, I think some of the people who forecast how films are going to do, I don't think they really expected, to be quite honest, The Butler to take the number one spot during its opening weekend on August 16th, 17th, 18th. And it not only did it take the number one spot during its opening weekend, but it held on to that number one spot for the second consecutive week. We're going into the third weekend now that it's been out, and they're forecasting, the Hollywood Insiders are forecasting that the new 3D concert experience film, One Direction, This Is Us, which features the British boy band One Direction, that will knock The Butler out of the number one spot. That's the prediction. We'll see. I, you know, had a chance to catch the film after it had been out, you know, for at least a week. And, I mean, the theaters are still pretty crowded, even on an early matinee. So, so we'll see. We'll see how it does. I'll give you a follow-up report on next week's show about kind of where The Butler fell on the charts and which movie actually takes the number one spot for this Labor Day weekend. That One Direction film is the only really big, major Hollywood, you know, wide-release, theatrical release. There are a couple of others in wide-release, but that's kind of the big one that's being marketed right now. So we'll see how that does. But you're listening to Add the Movies with Jamil. We're talking about The Butler. If you have seen the movie, I'd love to hear from you. We've got about 20 minutes left in the show, 20 minutes before the hour, and probably realistically only about 10 more minutes to talk because, again, I told you I had a little special treat for you before we sign off for tonight. So before we get to that, you have 2 cents that you want to share with us about the movie, what you thought about it. Did you think it was appropriate for kids? I know some people took their kids with them to see it. Some didn't. I did not take my kids to see it because I wanted to see it first to determine whether or not it's something I thought they could handle at the age of 9 and 10. I didn't know how deep the film was going to go with the you know, slavery and the lynchings and the rapes and all of that. And there was some of that in the film. But it was not done in such a way that was graphic. I mean, you kind of knew it was happening but didn't really see it in some scenes. There were some visible lynching or hanging scenes. But beyond that, and that was just a very small part of the movie at the beginning. So once you really got into Cecil Gaines as an adult and he is working as a butler and working his way up, that's really the bulk of the film is about his career as the butler and not so much his, you know, the history as a slave child working in the cotton fields and that part of it. It's a really, really small part of the film. So that being said, now that I've seen it, I do plan on taking my son and my daughter to see the film because, again, I think it's important for them to know their history. You know, when I saw in the film that Louis Gaines, Cecil's oldest son, which was portrayed by David Oyelowo, that he, you know, had gone off to school to Fisk University in Tennessee and kind of joined the civil rights movement at a young age and then eventually joined the Freedom Riders, that kind of really hit a little soft spot in my heart personally because I was blessed to meet a few of the surviving Freedom Riders, or at least they were still living at the time, back in 2001. I worked for Greyhound's corporate office in Dallas, Texas. And in that year, in 2001, it was the 40th anniversary of the Freedom Rides from 1961. And the CEO of the company at the time, Craig Lynch, was invited or asked for Greyhound to participate in some form or fashion with the 40th anniversary of the Freedom Rides, and we got involved. I was in the PR department there, and we got involved, and we ended up really kind of getting involved and you know, taking the reins on that thing and creating a, gosh, I think it was a three-day, five-city event. Over 3 days, we started in Washington, D.C., and came down to Atlanta, and then from Atlanta took a bus ride, took a Greyhound bus from Atlanta with stops in Birmingham, and we ended up in Montgomery. And we stopped in Anniston, Alabama, and then Birmingham, and then Montgomery. So, And just being on the bus with people who were these were black and white people who were freedom riders, as you will see depicted in the movie. They were both black and white in the civil rights movement. And to be on this bus when we pulled into the Greyhound terminal in Anniston, Alabama, they were singing Negro spirituals that they sang 40 years ago, and the tears were streaming down their face when we pulled into the parking lot, and they were greeted by a crowd of black and white people together waving the American flag. It was a very different greeting or welcome, if you would, than they had experienced 40 years prior, where there were, what do you call them, the Molotov cocktails were thrown on the bus, bombed, and you know, people were beaten and injured, and to be with them and experience that new introduction, that new welcome 40 years later was just something I personally will never, ever, ever forget. Everybody on the bus was crying. It was just amazing. So you know, when they talked about the Freedom Riders and you see him going through some of those very same things that I know these people I met went through, Congressman John Lewis was with us on this Freedom Ride event that we did in 2001. And James, or he went by Jim's Work, you know, and there were a couple of other, I think Catherine Robinson, I believe it was her name. And it was just an amazing feeling. And so, you know, although I didn't grow up in that time and didn't personally experience it, I felt like I you know, could relate because I had heard them tell their stories of what happened to them firsthand out of the original. And the Freedom Riders that I met, I mean, there were several other Freedom Rides after the original kind of Freedom Ride bus route, but there were several other Freedom Rides took place after the original bus ride, and the people that we located and flew in for this event were a handful of the original Freedom Riders. I think the very first group was, I think there were 13 original Freedom Riders, and we tried to locate as many of the surviving Freedom Riders from that original 13 that we could and brought them in. So that's my little sidebar personal story there, but the Butler, we were 15 minutes before the hour. We are still here to take your call, 646-200-0459, 646-200-0459. Call us up. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on the movie. You know, how do you think that this film compares to other films that were based on real-life events during the Civil Rights Movement? And, you know, I don't know if you have read a lot of reviews or followed a lot of the critics' comments. I know in having a conversation with my mother, she was really upset. And, of course, she kind of took it personally because she grew up during the Civil Rights Movement. But she was very upset to read that a film critic, and I'm a film critic as well, but a particular film critic or review that she read or saw online had given it a C-. I would give it an A. And I'm not giving it an A because I'm an African-American woman, and it's about, you know, the civil rights movement and how blacks were mistreated and oppressed and all of that. It's not about that for me. It's about the movie and the quality of the film and the storyline and the cinematography and, you know, the script and
you know, the talent, the actors, and everything, and how it all came together, and ultimately Lee Daniels' vision for this film. And it's an amazing story, and he did an amazing, phenomenal job telling that story with images and on screen. And so that's why my book is an A. I thought it was excellent. I encourage everybody to go see it, young or old, black or white, you know, Democrat, Republican, Muslim, Christian, it doesn't matter. I think it's just an excellent, excellent film and story, and I just think everybody should see it. And you know, for not only the historical value of it, but just, you know, it takes you through every range of emotion. It's just a great dramatic film, biopic drama. So I encourage everybody to go see it. We are going to take one quick station break, and then when we come back, we will see if we have any callers, and if not, we're going to get into the close of the show with my little kind of special tribute, if you will. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will get ready to head into the Labor Day weekend. So hope that you will stay tuned here, and I will be right back.
Can I have your attention, please?
That's right, baby. First Sundays has moved to a brand new location. I'm talking upscale, baby. The Zure Restaurant at 117 South Watson Road at the Cypress Hotel off of Highway 360 and Abel. And yes, we still have award-winning and renowned artists, musicians, poets, an award-winning host, and this place even overlooks a swimming pool. Man, that's what's up. Plus, there'll be a live radio broadcast.
We'll do it live.
Okay. We'll do it live. Get your tickets early by going to firstsunday.eventbrite.com. That's firstsunday.eventbrite.com or call 972-834-5936. That's 972-834-5936. Tickets are $10 in advance and $15 at the door. It's First Sunday's taking it to another level at the Zuri Restaurant. Cause it round the clock, we don't stop.
Okay, we are back. You have been tuning in to At the Movies with Jamil. I am your host, Jamil Real Deal Bradfield. It's Friday, August 30th. It's the end of 1 month and the beginning, going into Labor Day weekend, is the beginning of a new month. We're heading into September. All of the kiddos should be back to school by now. And I know my kids return this week, and I know across the country most kids have gone back within the last couple of weeks. So, and then all of the college kids are either back or heading back. So I want to wish everybody that is, you know, in the education world, both kids and students and instructors, myself included, to have a wonderful school year. And as I mentioned to you at the top of the show, I have a special tribute for you to close out the show today. I want to give another special thank you and shout out to Mr. Robert Christopher Riley. From VH1's hit television series, Hit the Floor. Wonderful interview with him. Had a little fun with him there at the end. I do appreciate him. And I think on Twitter, he said you can follow him at Rob Riley NYC on Twitter. And check him out on Facebook as well. And if you follow me on Facebook, my website, www.seenityet.com, is my movie website, and my Facebook page there. I will post some some information, his Twitter and his Facebook. I'll post links there so that you can continue to follow him and his career and support that brother and everything that he's doing. But right now, as we close out the show, I want to take some time. Again, this is the week that we observe the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington and Dr. Martin Luther King's famous I Have a Dream speech. And, you know, after talking about the butler, I think it would be, you know, just perfect and totally appropriate to play the I Have a Dream speech for you, and then we will take you out from there. So I want to wish everybody a wonderful and safe, Labor Day weekend. Don't drink and drive. If you're out partying and barbecuing and you have too much to drink, do not get behind the wheel. Own public service announcement. Get a designated to drive you or keep your little butt at home. Be safe. Check out the movies. One Direction, This Is Us is in theaters today. Riddick, starring Vin Diesel, will be in theaters next Friday. We'll be back next week for another exciting show. But stay tuned. Don't hang up or log off yet. I want you to check out the tributes to Dr. King and to Michael Jackson. Of course, his birthday was yesterday. They're going to close out the show for us. So thank you. Have a wonderful weekend, and I will see you at the movies.
The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream was given on August 28, 1963. The words of Reverend King echoed long after his death in 68. This memorable day was in Washington, D.C., a hot afternoon, when he spoke before a crowd of 200,000 overlooking the reflecting pool from the Lincoln Memorial.
Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
But I know a change gon' come.